Hear God's word. Exodus 20, we read in the commandments, you shall not kill. And then turning to Matthew's gospel, turn with me to the 5th chapter, and beginning at verse 21, we read these words. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, as we consider the Ten Commandments, we're now at the 6th commandment. You shall not kill. Or as Jesus puts it in Matthew's gospel, you shall not murder. It's the commandment that protects the sanctity of human life. It prohibits malicious and unlawful killing. It does not consider the death penalty or killing in war, which is a proper form of taking human life under governments, but it is addressing our own individual lives, and it is addressing us in terms of our relationship to others. And the commandment speaks of private morality. You shall not murder. And Jesus expands on that commandment in Matthew's gospel to tell us, as the catechism tells us, that even in our thoughts, in our words and gestures, we dishonor, we hate, we wound, and we kill our neighbor. And as this commandment is speaking about the essence of life, it reminds us that life is a gift from God. And to take life, to murder, is to strike out not only at someone else, but it is to strike out at God. The commandment rules out hateful malice as well as cruelty and violence. It is really a commandment, if you would, to love your neighbor. Now, you didn't quite catch that when you went through the Ten Commandments because they all say, you shall not. You shall not murder. You shall not take a neighbor, your neighbor's life. But really, that means you should love your neighbor, because his life is a gift from God. And God has given us this gift. And anyone who takes away that gift of life without God's permission are murderers. God has stamped his image upon us. And a murder, therefore, is an assault upon God. Murder is rebellion against God. Murder that arises from the heart is hatred, ultimately for God, as well as for the person that is murdered. And we have seen many murders. We see them on the news constantly. It's so often that we see them, it's as though they don't have any effect upon us any longer. They happen. And we see it over and over again where some angry person takes it out on another person and he takes their life. And that person is murdered. We see it constantly, yet it doesn't seem to have an effect upon us. It should. We should consider what we see, and we should pray that God would, by grace and love, transform hearts, change hearts, and make them hearts that are receptive of his word. But murder happens often. And what happens when one murders someone else is that the anger that arises out of one's heart that's expressed in the act of murder is to tell the other person, I don't want you here any longer. I don't want you to have what you have, and I am going to take your life. Murder is saying that you don't want the person to enjoy what God has given him. It is to pretend that you are God. You are pretending that you have the ability to take this person's life. It's an assault upon God. And to commit a murder is to act as if you were God yourself, taking life. And God says, you shall not murder. And Jesus brings that up in his Sermon on the Mount when he speaks of anger. He says, you shall not, you have heard that it was said, you shall not murder. And whoever murders is liable to the judgment. And then notice this word, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. What Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount is that you don't need to murder someone with a weapon. You murder them with your anger. You murder them with your hatred. You can murder them with your evil disposition. The spiritual cause, contemptuous words, hatred that ultimately would take the life, and sometimes does, of another person. He tells us that we are to deal with our anger, with our hatred towards someone else. And notice he says, if you don't repent, then you face the fire of hell. Murder arises from envy. Murder arises from hatred. Murder arises from anger and revenge. With one sweeping statement, I say to you, Jesus removes the rubbish of the Pharisees and the rabbis' teaching, and he puts the law of God clearly in front of us and the people of God, and he reminds us what the law of God has declared, and he tells us that anger and hatred are sinful against God. Abuse and hatred, calling someone a fool, contempt, scornful words and looks that kill, uncontrolled temper, ungoverned rage. Anyone who hates his brother, John says in 1 John 3:15, is a murderer. He says the same thing that Jesus says in this passage. Hatred kills. We stab. We kill with wicked thoughts, with wicked words. Thoughts and words and gestures are simply the expressions of our hearts. And that is what the commandment forbids, because the commandment forbids anything that is less than love for our neighbor and for ourselves. Jesus says in Matthew that the inward feeling and the thoughts of the heart are those things that will break the law of God. The Pharisees had reduced the law of God to something that was easily kept, and it was reasonably comfortable. If you were a Pharisee, you just went down a list of things, and you said, well, I didn't break God's law because I didn't break all of these other things, commandments that they had erected as well. But when Jesus speaks, he speaks of what's going on in our hearts. And the things that go on in our hearts are the gross sins of murder and hatred and bitterness and unholy anger and tempers that are flagrant violations of the word of God, and ultimately are the reason, ultimately, that someone murders someone else. Jesus unmasks the false interpretation of the commandment, and then he proceeds to give its true interpretation. And notice what the true interpretation of that commandment is. The necessity of reconciling with your brother. Love for your brother. Notice what he says. If you are offering your gift at the altar and there you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you are put in prison. Notice what he says. There is a necessity to reconcile, and that necessity to reconcile rests on the commandment that we are to love our brother. If we love our brother, we will remove anything that is in the way of our love for our brother. We will reconcile with him. The law requires me to love my brother. The law requires me to love my neighbor as myself. And that love is a bond of fellowship. Is there anything that keeps you from fellowship with someone? That's what Jesus is asking us, and we should be asking ourselves. Is there anything that has broken the bond of fellowship between me and my brother? If there is, then that is what must be addressed. And Jesus tells us it precedes worship. If you come and you have your gift with you, it's like you have your check in your pocket. And you're ready to go to church, and you walk in and you have something in your mind that reminds you that there's a problem between you and your brother. Leave the check in your pocket. Stop. Turn around. Go and seek out your brother and do what? Reconcile with your brother, because you are called to do that by the law of God. It's the very antithesis of hatred. It implies a choice of our will, our heart. And we are called to have that choice that we love our neighbor. And it's not some sentimental feeling that we're supposed to have. Notice that God did not have some sentimental feeling towards sinners, but he loved them. But how did he love sinners? The Bible tells us in this way, God loved sinners. He sent his son into the world to die for us, to die for sinners, to reconcile sinners to God. And that's what we are to do with our brother. We are to be reconciled with them. We are to love them for God's sake. We are to follow the commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But if you love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, you will love your neighbor as yourself. And you will love him because God calls you to love him. That's what we must do with those who are our neighbor and friends. And we must do that with all. There are some who do not like other people. We know that well. We know that today there are many, they don't like the Jews. Well, they're trying to bomb them and get rid of them. We know that. But there are those who don't like people of other colors, blacks, or those who are brown. They don't like illegal aliens as well. And there is some prejudice that we have many times that wants us to keep those people away from us. We don't want that kind of people near us. That's not loving our neighbor. Loving our neighbor is by means of reconciliation, not going to church. People go to church all the time and do good things, but that doesn't cover up the hatred in our hearts and the failure to love our neighbor as God commands us. We are called by God and by Christ to obey him in this manner, and we are not to harbor anger, bitterness, or hatred in our hearts. We are called to restore peace, if possible. Notice in this passage in Matthew, reconciling is a priority. How do you do that, you ask? Murder is a capital sin. It's a violation of the summary commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it is a commandment which we are to keep. But the anger and the abuse and the hatred about which Jesus speaks, there can be reconciliation because we are called to that. The victim may be your brother or sister in Christ. The victim may be a neighbor next door. The victim may be someone with whom you've had a relationship. But Jesus underscores in all of these relationships the urgency of what? Reconciliation. Reconciling. You ought to ask the question, have I done everything necessary to try to reconcile with my brother? Put away everything that stands in the way between you, and then you will worship the Lord without guilt, without the guilt of a broken relationship in which you have failed to do everything in your power to repair it, and turn to that brother in Christ and seek reconciliation. How can that be possible? There's only one way. And the means of reconciliation is the grace of God. Only restoring and renewing grace enable anyone to keep the sixth commandment. J.I. Packer wrote that. I love that. Only restoring and renewing grace enable anyone to keep this commandment. We need restoring, renewing grace, grace that enables us, grace that gives us the ability to do what normally we couldn't do in and of ourselves, but we can do it in Christ. The keeping of this commandment is only through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the gospel of his power, which enables us then to walk in obedience to the commandments of God. That's what we need to ask ourselves. Do we have that grace? Do we have that ability by grace to do what God has called us to do? And if we do, then we will follow what Christ has called us to do in this passage. The way of reconciliation, the way of obedience of this commandment is only when we have the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, when we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes to us by the power of his gospel, and we find that by trusting in him alone, by faith alone, clinging to him, coming to Christ, trusting in him by faith. That's how we keep this commandment: you shall not murder. You shall not be angry and hate your brother, but you shall love him as God has called you to love him by the power of grace alone. Amen.